Now, a bit of a dispute at Belfast City Council. Sinn Féin have come up with a proposal to ban councillors from using offensive expressions in reference to any person or section of society. Let's speak to Jolene Bunting, who's an independent councillor, very much from a loyalist background. Jolene, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jolene, what is your problem with what sounds like a pretty sensible suggestion that offensive expressions in reference to any person or section of society should be banned?
Frank, this standing order is going to prevent me and anyone else in that chamber from speaking out against terrorism, whether that's IRA terrorism or Islamic terrorism. It is going to prevent us from speaking out against it. Now, this comes 3 months after I had been silenced for pointing out that we have terrorists in Belfast City Council. I was silenced for the rest of the meeting when I pointed that out to the chamber. Now, that's a fact, Frank, and that I was silenced for that. Now I am permanently being silenced from speaking out against terrorism.
Now, Georgina Milne is with the Green Party. Georgina, Jolene makes a point there. She wants to speak out. She believes that we have terrorists who are at council level, who are at government level. Some people may describe them as former terrorists. She's also concerned about the growing number of people involving themselves in terrorism linked to some misunderstanding of the Islamic faith. Does she not have a point?
Well, I think, importantly, what Councillor Bunting has indeed found out is that free speech doesn't mean you can say anything at all without consequence, because Councillor Bunting has been silenced in the past for expressing her opinions, and if I threaten someone's life or a segment of society or family safety or told lies about them, I could be convicted of libel or harassment law, and I think that it's a hard line to walk between free speech and hate speech, but you have to look at the outcome and the intent of your words. And if your intent is to empower people, freedom of speech has been instrumental in women's suffrage, civil rights, LGBTQ liberation movements, which were controversial at the time, but designed to empower and to liberate people, whereas hate speech is designed to oppress, to subjugate and to harm. And I think you have to look very carefully at the outcome of your words. And I think if you are speaking in a hateful way, then you should be, you should have to bear the consequences of those words.
So sorry, Georgina, can I ask, do you think me pointing out the fact that we have people who have served time in prison for being IRA terrorists, me pointing out that fact in the chamber was I should have been silenced? Well, you voted to silence me that night. I pointed out a fact. It was a fact. It is a fact that we have councillors in that chamber who have served multiple times in prison for IRA terrorism, for going out of their homes to murder innocent people. And I pointed that out and I was silenced. So you think that's okay? You don't think that's infringing on my freedom of speech? I was pointing out a fact, and I have never lied in that chamber, never. So I don't know where you're getting that I have lied or that I have somehow said something hateful or something that would put anyone's life in danger. I pointed out a fact, and that's what I intend to do until 2019 if I don't get re-elected. If I get re-elected, I'll continue to point out facts and to tell the truth. There's no point in hiding the truth, because if we continue to, you know, lie to people and to say that everything's rosy and dandy in this country, then none of our problems are going to actually be solved.
Yeah, but Jolene, what's the point of doing that in relation to people who were formerly in the IRA when we're in a new dispensation now and all of those councillors have signed up to a new way forward and are critical of the dissidents, and the electorate have accepted that, so they're members of the second biggest party in the community. Why do we need that history lesson from you?
They're critical of the dissidents, but yet they come out and they do threaten, and they do. They number one, they glorify the fact that they were the IRA, or the IRA. They glorify the fact that they have murdered people. Now, I am in contact with victims who have had their loved ones murdered by these people. And, you know, councillors in that chamber think that it's fine for them to stand up and glorify that and to make it out that they are somehow better than anyone because they were members of this, you know, psychopathic group who decided to go out and kill innocent people. Now, I'm in contact with the victims of these people, and I have spoken to the victims of these people in depth. And, you know, my own constituency was hit with 9 innocent people, including children, being murdered. I have to live with that day in and day out, knowing that the people who support that.
So do you see then Sinn Féin as some of the problematic people in society that you referred to in the council? Because you also referred to those who are of the Islamic faith as being problematic people in society. You've described in great detail. You've described in great detail your annoyance at Sinn Féin and reminded us, indeed, of the atrocities carried out by the IRA. But where are you in terms of people of the Muslim faith?
Can I correct you? I actually didn't say that the people of the Islamic community were problematic. Jim McVeigh said that, and I stood up and I said that I am happy to speak about the problems with Islam and the problems within the Quran, which are causing the problems with Islam around the world. Only a few days ago we have actually seen Islam strike again just across the border in Dundalk, and a man has sadly lost his life
Jolene, the Gardaí are investigating that. They've ruled out any terrorist links.
They've ruled out any terrorist links, even though the man who had stabbed these people shouted Allah Akbar. I mean, Frank, I have read the Quran. I've looked into the Quran, and when I read the Quran, I can see how it can be misinterpreted. And I've spoke to the Islamic Centre about this. I've spoke on other radio stations about how the Quran is being misinterpreted. It's not being misinterpreted. It's being interpreted the way that it is supposed to.
Is it being misinterpreted or is it being interpreted properly?
And I believe it's being interpreted properly. When you have slay the unbelievers where you find them, do not make friends with the infidel. I do think that these extremists are simply carrying out what is in their scripture.
But are you not being incredibly irrational, Jolene? When you think of some of the stuff that's in the Bible, we could weigh our way through the Bible and say, oh, I would have absolutely nothing to do with that. Yet, no, you're tarnishing everyone who follows the Muslim faith because of some of the scripture within the Quran.
I understand that some people within the Muslim faith have said that parts of the Quran and parts of the Hadith are not authentic and weren't written by Muhammad and weren't sent by God. In fact, so some might say that it was actually sent by Satan. And that's what I have been told by the Muslim people of Belfast when I went to meet them. And I was happy with that, and I do believe that they are good people. But that doesn't take away the fact that people are using the words that are in the Quran to slaughter people on a daily basis. It doesn't take that away from the rest of the world. And, you know, and as I have said, you know, yes, that man hasn't been convicted of terrorism yet, and you know, it is a bit early to judge, but that man shouted Allah Akbar, something that terrorists are shouting every time they slaughter people around the world on a daily basis. And it's just, you know, what I worry is that it's going to come to our shores, and that my freedom of speech and me speaking out against it isn't going to be upheld. I'm going to be silenced.
But are you not putting at risk the Muslim people who live in Northern Ireland with your rhetoric? Because when you speak, you sound as if, you may not intend to sound like this, but you come across, like the people from Britain's First, you come across as if you're full of hatred for the Muslim people.
Frank, I have spoken many times, and I have said this is not all Muslims. This is not all Muslims. And there is issues within the faith that need to be dealt with and need to be publicised. That you know, the Muslim community need to come out and they need to speak up about things which are either being misinterpreted or interpreted the right way, as I have interpreted them when I read the Quran.
Just stay with me, Jolene, because Jornino Milne, who raised objection to what you had said in council, is still with us. Georgina, if we look at it from another perspective, does Jolene not actually have a point? Someone needs to say something about the terrorists who use the Quran as an excuse to attack ordinary innocent people. If no one's prepared to say that these people are using the Quran as an excuse, well, then they're going to continue to do it. We're not going to challenge them. Surely someone has to challenge them.
Frank, I don't know how long your show is, but I think I would need an awful lot of time to address the horrific points that Councillor Bunting has made. But in your point specifically, I firmly believe that all ideas should indeed be open to criticism, including political ideas and religious ideas. But this critique should follow all the usual rules about debate, and that requires fact-finding, listening and sensitive handling of the topic. And I believe that Councillor Bunting's conduct is anything but that. There's been very little in the way of fact-finding, listening and sensitive handling on the topic, and I believe the opinions, and they are opinions, are misinformed, and I do believe that they are hate speech. And I also noticed that Councillor Bunting has a problem with terrorists and with people causing harm to society. We have to remember that Councillor Bunting has courted the company of fascists, self-proclaimed far-right fascists, Britain First, and all the history associated with the far-right movement globally and historically brought these same fascists to our city, same fascists who were convicted of engaging in hate speech.
I'll come back to you in a moment, Jolene.
The same fascists who would remove the rights of those people that I mentioned, the rights of people of different races, religions, sexualities and sexual identities. And if we want to talk about problematic people in society, I have a problem with people who actively exclude and harass others.
Would you accept, Jolene, that Britain's First is a group of people who you do associate yourself with, and they are questionable in many households in Northern Ireland?
No, Frank, I wouldn't. I believe that Britain First are a political party. They have their policies and they promote their policies. Now, if that means that they're fascists, I would like to know what taking my freedom of speech away is, because I believe that these people who, on a daily basis, I would get social media messages calling me a fascist, and call them, you know, Britain First get abuse all the time online, including from Georgina and from other members of the council, where they are called fascists. They are a political party who have policies which put the people who are born here first. That's all. They are not fascists. They don't want to take anyone's right away. If anything, they want to give people more rights. They want to give the people who live here the rights to live freely. They don't want no-go areas where they live. And Frank, I have been to England with Britain First, and I have seen the no-go areas for myself. Now, I've been called a liar by people. And to be honest with you, you know, what Georgina's saying is actually hate speech against Britain First, because these people are simply people who have formed a political party, have policies, and want to promote those policies and want to enforce those policies if they are given the mandate to do so.
Okay.
They're also very democratic and want democracy to be at the forefront, something which I feel that isn't being put to the forefront when it comes to the Liberal elite and their agenda. They forget about democracy. They forget about that when they're attacking President Trump, when they're attacking the DUP. They forget about democracy.
Okay, one final question to you, because you're talking about equal rights. Do you believe the Muslim people in Northern Ireland should have equal rights to other citizens in Northern Ireland?
I certainly do, Frank. And a conversation that I actually had with a constituent of mine, when she thought that I was trying to take some kind of rights away from her daughter, who was being brought up Muslim, is that what I don't want is, I don't want young girls to be half of
of a man. I don't want their opinions or their presence to be half of a man. I don't want people being slaughtered for, you know, I don't want hands being cut off. I don't want people, I want people to be able to leave a religion without having death threats, multiple death threats put upon them, which is happening in this country, Frank.
Jolene, I'm not familiar with anyone having their hand cut off in this country.
Well, that does happen. That's part of Sharia law, and that's a law within Sharia law. It's not happening in this country. What I was meaning is...
It's definitely not happening in this country, and it's not happening anywhere in the no-go areas in Britain either.
For people who have left Islam, is what I'm saying is happening in this country. There are multiple death threats out there. Are money placed on their heads if someone will kill them because they're speaking out against Islam. I want to get...
Jolene, there's people being executed in the United States.
Sorry, for what? Sorry.
For murder. People are being executed in the United States.
For murder?
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, Sharia law, and you're talking about people having limbs amputated. There are people in the Western society being executed.
For murder?
Yes, so are you not familiar with the death penalty?
Yes, for murder. For murder, yeah, That's capital punishment. These people are being slaughtered in the Middle East for the slightest thing, for showing their hair in public. Frank, I mean, you know, Georgina has talked about theft, Frank, and I have looked into this. I have seen what countries which have Sharia law are doing to their people, and I don't agree with it, and I certainly don't want it happening in Britain.
But is there not a better way to challenge everything? Is there not a better way to challenge what's happening in Eastern countries? Is there not a better way to challenge what's happening in America? Is there not a better way to go about it than the bull in the china shop attitude that you take?
While I speak about Eastern countries, what my main concern is the United Kingdom. My main concern is the people here in the United Kingdom not having to abide by rules which don't fit into Western society.
Okay. I'm going to have to leave it there, Jolene, give the final point to Georgina. Georgina, there will be people, I'm looking at the text here as well, listening to this programme, who do believe, and who will believe, and who certainly do believe, that Jolene Bunting has a relevant point to make. It's just the way that she's making it that's not convincing people.
But I think the way she's making it is very, very important. Don't forget, Councillor Bunting is an elected representative of this city. It's her job to serve all her constituents. Arguably, it's her job to make that point in a sensitive and well-informed way. And to be very honest with you, if there are people who can make whatever points need made in a better and more effective manner, I'd be very open to hearing from them. And additionally, I'm very pleased to learn that Councillor Bunting has taken a stance against violence. It'd be interesting to know what she thinks of Britain First's policies, which include the death sentence and chain gangs, given how abhorrent she finds some of the supposed punishments for under Sharia law. What's your thoughts on chain gangs and the death sentence?
Well, we can't pursue it any further than we have taken it this morning. I appreciate both of you coming on, Georgina and Jolene. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. I want to speak to Rob, who's on this line. Good morning, Rob.
Frank, good morning to you, and Happy New Year to you as well. I know we're a wee bit late on, but it's the first I've had a chance to speak to you, so Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Just on Councillor Bunting, nonetheless, not surprising this morning that here we have it again, yet more rhetoric coming from Councillor Bunting, and it's something that we've heard time and time again. I don't believe, and I'm not a supporter of Sinn Féin in any way, shape or form, but I certainly don't believe that this shuts down debate around terrorism. I think that Councillor Bunting and any other member of the council will be able to very rightly so come out and condemn terrorism in its fullest form, come out and condemn the IRA if they wish to, come out and condemn loyalist paramilitaries, and come out and condemn those who act under the guise of Islamic State using the Muslim religion. But Councillor Bunting needs to get it very, very clear in her head. Now, Councillor Bunting, let me remind you, as someone who has been involved with an organisation and also been involved in describing a mosque as a monstrosity, and that's the type of rhetoric that we hear from Councillor Bunting time and time again. The majority, and Councillor Bunty describes it as some Muslim people. Well, I'm going to set the record straight. The majority of the Muslim community here in the north, and I can't speak for GB because I haven't engaged with Muslims in GB, but the majority of the Muslim community here in the north are law-abiding citizens who are totally opposed to terrorism. Who stand on their feet and they say no, that is not done in my name, and they do not take the Quran literally. The same way that we do not take the Bible literally. Well, the majority of us do not take the Bible literally. If we did, we'd be selling people into slavery. We'd be bringing people out into the street to stone them for working on a Sunday. You know, you can take all of those different examples. That simply does not happen. Councillor Bunting really, really needs to stop this campaign that I feel, and it is subjective, it's my opinion, I feel that she is mounting a very, very serious campaign against the Muslim community. And we have seen the types of attacks that those rhetoric and that rhetoric brings. We have seen pig slaughter thrown at Muslim centres. We have seen those types of Nazi drawings on the side of Muslim community centres, etc., etc. That's what this does. It stirs up that type of hatred, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop now, Frank.
Does she have a point, however, about terrorists who use the Quran as an excuse? She may not be articulating it in a way that's acceptable to people locally, but does she actually have a point?
I absolutely do believe she has a point in relation to that there is a minority, but let's get that word across very clearly. It's a minority of people who use the Muslim faith in the form of the Quran. The same way, as if you want to use this as an example, as an analogy, that the UVF organisation, the Loyalist organisation, had their motto inscribed for God and for Ulster. Well, I don't think God would have approved of the slaughter and bombing and killing of innocent people, be any terrorist organisation here in the north. I do think that there are those who, for their own purposes, to further radical Islam, who use the Quran and take everything in its literal meaning. But that is a minority, Frank, and that is something that needs to come across very clearly.
Okay. Rob, who's a community worker in North Belfast, thank you. I want to speak to a gentleman who's never too far away from controversy. He wants to make a point in relation to the comments made earlier in the programme as well. It's Dee Fennell. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Dee, you've recently been cleared. You've gone through the courts in relation to being accused of terrorist offences arising out of a speech at an Easter Rising event back in 2015. And in the end, you were acquitted. You faced three charges, namely encouraging terrorism, inviting support for the Irish Republican Army, and encouraging support for the IRA. You are listening to Councillor Bunting speaking. What point do you want to make?
Well, I was initially arrested in April 2015 in relation to this speech. In the days preceding that arrest, we had statements from the DUP MP David Simpson, the Westminster candidate at the time, Joanne Dobson. We had the TUV. We had fringe loyalist elements like Bryson Fraser and Bunton herself, all crying out for prosecutions on social media. I was subsequently remanded in McGabbery for a number of months on release. I was banned from social media and for the entirety and from posting online for the entirety of the proceedings right up until my acquittal. For almost a year, I was banned from all public speaking, meaning I couldn't address an AGM at my local GAA club. I couldn't speak at a parents' meeting of children's school, and totally separate from any sort of political or community work. That was eventually reduced to I couldn't speak regarding anything in terms of republicanism in public. Eventually, when it went to trial, Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights saw me acquitted of all charges, and that's the right to freedom of expression, also the right to political expression. And what astounds me is the utter hypocrisy emanating from unionism regarding free speech. We've seen it with the Pastor McConnell affair, who was also acquitted, and now we're seeing it with Jolene Bunton and her constant racist rantings against Islam. The cry is free speech, free speech, free speech. However, when we hear any sort of opinion that opposes the status quo, which talks about contemporary and historical analysis from a Republican perspective, unionists are crying from the rooftops that there needs to be prosecutions.
Now, she would clearly refute any suggestion that what she's doing is racist.
I'm sure she would.
So it is important that we put that point. She's put it herself earlier in the programme, but that's an accusation that you're levelling against her.
Well, I think it is racist. It's also sectarian. She's come on here and talked about the proper interpretation of the Quran is to go out and slaughter people, and I'm sure the vast majority of adherents to that faith would totally reject that as well.
And she has clearly spoken out against terrorists. That's something that you're not prepared to do.
Well, I'm not sure if she has spoken out against terrorists. I mean, I would like the point put to Jolene Bunton. Has she ever attended the Brian Robinson parade on the Shankill Road?
So
Has she ever attended any commemoration for members of Loyalist paramilitary organisations on the Shankill Road?
And do you believe that...
Has she attended Orange parades where bannerets are carried commemorating members of the UVF, where bands are named after members of the UVF or the Ulster Freedom Fighters or any other Loyalist paramilitary organisation? Has she attended those? And by doing so, is she endorsing those paramilitary organisations through her attendance?
And have you taken any opportunity in recent times to condemn those who attacked or killed police officers?
Absolutely not.
And why is that, Damien?
Well, I can't give a valid public opinion on armed struggle. Otherwise, like most Republicans, would probably be at risk of prosecution under Section 12 of the so-called Terrorism Act, which is being enforced here in Britain by the PSNI, who are directed by MI5.
You could take this opportunity to condemn those people who kill members of society, those members of society being members of the PSNI who are here to protect us.
I could, but I choose not to, Frank.
And does that not put you in a position where you're ill-equipped to condemn someone like Jolene Bunting?
No, it puts you in a position where you're ill-equipped to make presumptions about my opinions. What I'm saying is that I'm unable to give an opinion because of draconian legislation introduced by the British government through the Terrorism Act.
I don't think anyone would take any action against you if you condemn those who carry out murder.
As I say, it would be impossible for me to give a comprehensive opinion and analysis given my experience being that I faced almost three years of legal proceedings, which deeply affected my family and others, which were implemented by the British government. And also have to recognise the fact that there's other people far worse off than me, including Tony Taylor, Gabriel Maggall, Neil Haggerty, who are currently interned in the ward of a British Secretary of State with no right to be in Ireland. Simply because of their political opinion at this time in Ireland.
Okay. Dee Fennell, thanks for getting in touch with us. Thank you, Dee.
Frank. All the best. Good luck.
Thank you for listening. 18 minutes to 12. Good morning. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.